One of my favorite things to do is walk with pastors and church leaders along their spiritual journey. So, leader, I am so glad that you are listening to this recording. It makes my heart smile knowing that you will take lessons that Ryan and Joe and I learned years ago and apply them in your churches and ministries today. I want to start this session with an image I've used in discipleship trainings in indigenous settings in South America many times. The image is designed to help you break down each passage that you read and understand it better. Four simple questions give us an outline to build the image on. Start by imagining a long, sharp sword. This sword represents God's Word. It is sharp enough on both sides to penetrate any obstacle that it may face. By the hilt of the sword, where it's held, is the question, what does this passage teach us about God? So let's take Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8 as an example. Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." Now, what does this passage teach us about God? Well, it's simply that He is big enough to meet our needs and compassionate enough to want to. Remember, context determines meaning, so we need to read around Matthew 7 and find out just what is going on. When you do that, you discover that this is what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is walking through one of the most complete bits of His teaching that we have in the Gospels. We learn as we read through this sermon that God is our advocate and our strength. He is a present help in the lives of the suffering believers, which was a very real threat to first century Christians. We learn that His care is sufficient and on time. The very next verse reminds us that our Father is not out to harm us, but to do us good. He can do what He says He will do. Next, I want you to look at the tip of the sword and ask this question. What does this passage teach us about man? A quick reading is enough to prove to us in this passage and any other that man is incredibly needy and wants to be dependent on God. We find ourselves often asking for things, direction, provision, relationships, and this is good. Jesus is encouraging an asking attitude here. We also learned that our instincts are not often right. That is, we will often ask for things or want to ask for things that are not good for us or productive for our ministry. We're learning here to trust our asking instincts to the one who created us to ask. Next, I want you to look to the left of the sword and see this question appear. Does this passage offer us a command? This is so important to ask. Many commands in Scripture are overlooked as suggestions. You will find as you faithfully lead your people, most people will interpret commands as they see fit. If they don't want to go, they won't read go as a command. They'll interpret that command for some other person in some other setting. We must never allow our preconceived notions to inform our reading, interpretation, or application, public or private, of Scripture. There is a command in this passage, and it is a simple one. Jesus tells His followers to ask His and our Father to meet our needs and fill in our blanks. He promises that every question will be faithfully followed by an answer. One of the great temptations in ministry is to ignore this command and answer our own questions or the questions of others. We must heed this command and ask the Father before we act. Jesus did. We must learn from Him. Finally, look to the right of the sword and visualize this question. Are there any examples of this command being lived out in other places in the Word? Or can you think of any times when a God follower asked something of God and received an answer? We don't have to look very far. At the beginning of the very next chapter, a man with leprosy approaches Jesus and asks Him to heal him, and he is healed. The next passage tells us about a centurion with a paralyzed servant seeking healing, and he is healed. A very few verses down, we find the disciples in a boat, but they were afraid that they were going to sink. They begged Jesus to rescue them, and He did. The very next story finds Jesus being approached by two demon-possessed men who were under such control by the demonic forces, they couldn't even ask Jesus to heal them, but He did anyway, because that is the kind of God we serve. The question, do we see this anywhere else, can be quickly answered with a resounding yes. All we have to do is ask. Now we have a general understanding of the way to approach the Scripture literally. I would like for us to examine literary context and how that affects interpretation and application. Remember, context determines meaning. It is very possible for a reader to hear, "Ask and it will be given unto you," and walk away with the understanding that we can ask for anything we want, given sufficient faith, and we will receive it. There is a strong movement in the world today called word faith that builds its premise on verses like these. Interpretation is hard work, leader. Anyone can stand up and read a verse and offer a preliminary response. It takes a shepherd to feed the sheep. People need to hear from someone who has been with God, from a leader who has heard His voice and tested His instructions in their own life. Well, how does this happen? We've already discussed Duvall and Hayes' interpretive journey. Let's take a look at how literary context affects that journey. Literary context is simply the form a passage takes and the verbiage or the conversation that surrounds it. Another way of saying that would sound like this. Is this passage a part of a larger topic, or does it stand alone? Am I looking at a phrase, a sentence, or a paragraph, a whole chapter, or a complete book? It is almost impossible to pluck a phrase out of a book and expect it to stand all by itself. Let me give you an example. To stay with the analogy of knocking and doors being opened, Jesus said to the church in Laodicea, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." We've all heard this verse used in the invitation time to call people out of their lost state and into a relationship with Jesus. But is that the context we read here in Revelation, especially to the church in Laodicea? I don't think so. Revelation is a book written to encourage Christ followers with a vision of the end and the promise of heaven to follow. The letter to Laodicea is written to discipline lazy believers who refuse to obey the commands of Christ. Chapter 3, verse 20 is an invitation not to salvation, but to repentance and obedience. It is clearer why literary context is important, I hope. Several different contexts we find ourselves dealing with would include narrative, historical, wisdom or poetic, prophetic, the Gospels or the history of Jesus' life, pastoral letters, epistles or letters to the church, and apocryphal or end times. Each of these different contexts require different rules of interpretation. Duvall and Hayes' book goes into great detail which rules apply where. Read it. Before we finish, I want to offer you some qualifiers that will help you determine what you're reading, and how you are to read it. Here is a short list. As you read, look for words or phrases that repeat. Look for ideas that contrast or compare. For lists, for cause and effect. Look for figures of speech, for questions and answers, for dialogue. Look for conditional clauses that begin with if and follow with then. Look for emotional terms, the tone or the feel of the passage, and the pivotal points in the story. All of these are clues to what the literary context is and how you should begin reading and interpreting it. Listen to this, leader. The Bible was written for you to apply it. It's not primarily an instructional book. It was designed for your application. Don't shy away from reading it and proclaiming it boldly. God will give you insight and wisdom as you seek Him. Remember, ask. He's not shy with His answers. Your people deserve the time it takes you to wait on the Lord. Don't cut them short. You will both be glad you did the work.